Morning, everyone. We are thankful for the Lord's blessings. Thankful for the opportunity to be here in service with you.
Amen.
For those of you that don't know me, my name is Brother Aaron Brown, and I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. My intention for this trip was to come to the graduation and come to service and sit and enjoy one of my fellow brethren's preaching. But then the Lord paid me a visit.
Amen.
He gave me a portion of his word, and I cannot deliver it except he helped me.
Amen.
So I desire your prayers. The message that he has given unto me has probably been preached in many different ways on different occasions. But there are some things that the Lord particularly pointed out to me that he wanted me to share. And it is my desire is that the Holy Spirit will take the portion of the message that is intended for you and apply it into your heart.
Amen.
And that he might work what his will is in your life.
Yes.
The title of this message is Your Light. And I would like to turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. There's one particular verse we're going to focus on, but for the sake of context, I would like to begin reading at the first verse. Matthew 5, verse 1, down through verse 16. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, of the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Yes.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad,
yes,
for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Yes.
Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing,
yes,
but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men.
Yes.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Yes.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
That verse 16 is the focus of our message this morning.
Right.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Yes.
As the Lord presented these scriptures to our heart, the first thing he pointed out was the first verse. Jesus here has a lot of people around him. And he said, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. Jesus began to recognize that everyone that was in this crowd around him was not ready for this truth that he was presenting.
Yes, right.
And so what he did was he removed himself from all of those people, and the only ones that got the truth that day was the ones that followed him up into the mountain.
Yes, right.
You and I, this message is for us. Because we have been following the Lord up into the mountain.
Amen.
We don't want to be where everybody else is in the world. We want a close relationship with our God Father.
Amen.
And so this message is to us.
Yes.
He removed himself. He didn't tell the disciples, listen, I'm going up in the mountain, and if y'all want to, y'all can come up there with me.
Right.
You don't find that in the scripture.
No.
He removed himself, and those that had a desire went and followed him up into the mountain.
Amen.
I don't believe that it was an easy path to get to where he went. Some of the writers say this particular mountain that he was on could be seen by the whole city around, all the way around, could see that one mountain. And Jesus disappeared up into it.
Yes.
And the disciples went up there, and he began to teach. I'm not going to get into all these verses. I am confident that these verses have been preached many times.
Yes.
But they hold the secret.
Yes.
To true Christianity. Yes. They hold the secret to what you and I are supposed to do in the good times and adversity.
Yes, right. Yes.
This Christian walk, there's people say Christians are weak. They need a crutch. Sometimes I would like to meet one of those persons and I want to ask him, have you tried it? Have you walked this way? In the way the Bible is taught.
Yes.
And then you tell me how weak I am. It takes courage. It takes effort.
Yes.
It takes
Amen.
A divine revelation from God and a drive to be able to follow this truth.
Amen.
Now let's go to the 16th verse. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Three things mentioned here.
Yeah.
First thing is your light.
Amen.
Whose light we talking about? Something inside of us, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Now, we have all been to the hardware store and we've been down the light bulb aisle. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure we've had to change some light bulbs in our house from time to time.
Yes.
Now, can you take a little 5-watt light bulb and plug it in where you normally put a 60-watt? What's going to happen? The filament's going to break. Each light has a specific purpose. I can't be the light that you are supposed to be. You can't be the light that I'm supposed to be. Sometimes the intensity of the light that I have to shine is different than the intensity that you have to shine.
Yes.
Nevertheless, the light is always from the same source.
That's right.
As I observe this world and I see many people that call themselves Christians, that profess to shine forth the light of God, you know what I see? Various wattages. You know what else I see? Filters. You might say, well, Brother Aaron, what's the filter on a light? You ever had a lamp, you put a shade over it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a filter.
Yeah.
It is to temper the amount of light that protrudes from that light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it like this. In the spiritual world, our filters are the things about us that God wants to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times, those filters affect the way his light is perceived in the earth. And if I endeavor to walk with God, if I endeavor to be a true Christian, a true child of God, the only light that I can exude is what comes directly from God.
That's right.
And my filters get in the way and they affect how people view Christianity.
Amen. Yes.
So you and I, first of all, need to be seeking God. Lord, is my light correct?
Yes.
Is it shining forth the way that you want it to shine forth in my life?
Yes.
The way that where I can say, yes, this is my light, and I got it directly from God.
Amen.
These disciples that Jesus were talking to, they were going to be responsible for taking this great gospel all over the world.
Amen.
And he wanted them to get it right. Then he said, that they may see your good works. What does the scripture say about Jesus? It says he went about in the earth doing good. I don't believe anyone could say, yo, I saw Jesus over at such and such a place and he was doing this.
No.
There is no one that could defy that Jesus was not doing good.
Right.
Even the ones that were accusing him.
Yes.
They had a shallow accusation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was so shallow that Jesus didn't even respond to it.
Right.
How do we do in our life? When the accusations come, they come from Satan. They come from Satan's instruments. People in the earth.
Yeah.
That find fault with something that you're doing. How is your response? Do you defend yourself? You remember Peter? Peter's out there. Jesus is praying. Peter, can you watch with me one hour? Peter was sleepy. We get sleepy in life. And Peter thought it was more important for me to get some sleep than to pray a little while. And we saw what his works were when they came for Jesus. He couldn't help himself. It was an automatic response to grab that sword handle and go to work.
Right.
Now, what if Peter had prayed? It would have changed the outcome of that.
Yeah.
That man would have never lost his ear, although God would have used that and brought about something that touched that person's life, because Jesus picked his ear and put it right back on. You think you forget that? Jesus answered not a word, so much so that the ruler marveled. This is our work. This is our light. There was no way for Jesus to be able to do that except he had the light of God permeating through his being. You and I cannot do this on our own. We get into situations, and then sometimes it is hot, it's fast. I'm in this situation, I need to defend myself. No, you don't. God can defend you.
Yes.
What's your response? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts.
Yes.
You don't even have to respond. God has already weighed your heart. He knows you're not guilty of whatever they're saying.
Yes.
But what happens with us? We got something inside.
It's true.
I'm important. And I'm concerned about the way people look at me. So I need to stand my ground. You know we get in trouble when we do that? And then the filter's on. Well, brother so-and-so responded this way. And he's a Christian. A sister so-and-so said that. She's a Christian. And then they think it's okay. We have a world full of people that think a lot of things are okay that is not in the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
There is only one gospel that came to this earth.
That's right.
And every single Christian, I'm talking beyond denominations. I'm talking about people that call themselves a child of God. Everybody got to live by this book.
Amen. That's right.
We got to be like Jesus.
Yes.
He went about doing good.
Yes.
And number three, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is not you.
All right.
Boasting on, this is what I have done for God.
No.
This is what I did in this situation. I had peace like a river. You know who needs to be saying that? The people observing you.
Right.
You and I are all in different places at different times. The people that you're around, I may never be around. But one of them ought to be able to glorify your Father which is in heaven on your behalf.
Amen. Yes.
And this is what Jesus was getting at. Now, when you look at these Beatitudes and these other things that he mentioned, it doesn't leave any excuses or room for us to act out. When we get in that place, we got to be like Peter. he started weeping. You remember when he denied Christ? Oh, yes, Lord, I'll go all the way with you. I'm ready to die right with you. And a little girl chased him off. Yeah, you one of them. And you know what he did? The same thing Christians do now. Try to mask his Christianity by cursing. Isn't that what he did, Bob?
Yes.
What about his light? His light should have been shining right there.
Yeah.
Jesus told him what he would do. You're going to deny me 3 times. We have to get a hold of this gospel in such a way that it surpasses what our human tendencies are.
That's right.
Because what the enemy has prepared for you and I is to press us above measure to the point where we break. And God's got something far greater. He's got something that he wants to work in your life so well that other people will testify to what you have on hand. And that was Jesus' whole point. Because you know what happens when other people testify to what you have on hand? They've already recognized what they don't have. That brother's got something I don't have. That sister's got something I don't have. And if I got any kind of honest desire in my heart, I want some of that.
Amen.
We had a good example, didn't we? Now, Jesus said these words. People say, well, Jesus was the Son of God. Yes, he was the Son of God. But he also practiced what he preached.
Yeah.
You and I, we got to practice what we preach.
Amen.
We are Christians walking this earth. There are things, situations that's going to come up that's going to try your faith.
Yes.
It's going to try what you say you have on hand. And if you don't have it, you're going to have a predicament on your hands.
Lord,
either you'll be running somewhere saying, Lord, have mercy on me. I thought I had this on hand, but I don't. I need your help. Or are we going to break? And we'll find ourselves with regret. And oftentimes, when you're dealing with certain people, that first impression makes all the difference.
Yeah. That's true. That's
and if
true.
They see that you have allowed yourself to have a crutch, if you will, they think that's the norm.
Uh-huh.
And that's where our world is now. A lot of Christians on crutches. Instead of getting hold of the Word of God, there are times in your life that you are going to find yourself in situations where you realize, Lord, I need something else. Because what I got now, I can't get through this situation. I'm looking for an out here. I'm looking for an out there. This is beyond what I can take. It is the Word of God that is going to help you to be able to stand and to be able to shine a bright light that everyone around you can say, he has the goods. She has the goods. You know what we used to, all of us that are sitting in here now, you know why we're sitting here? Because people had the goods on hand that we saw growing up.
That's right.
And it wasn't just when it was nice and easy. They had it on hand in the difficult times of life.
Amen.
You would go, I remember hearing them saying, I went to go encourage brother or sister so-and-so, and I left and I was encouraged.
Yes.
That's because they had something on hand.
Yes.
Was their life easy? No, it wasn't. They were going through things.
Yes. Correct. Thank
you, Lord. I want to turn to Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now, we understand all the suffering Jesus went through.
Yeah.
We understand the fact that he was on the cross.
Right.
He endured a lot of things that he was innocent of.
That's right.
Do you think Jesus was there by himself? There was people around.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And they was watching.
They
I want to see what Jesus is going to do when he's up on that cross.
Right.
Yeah, I see him heal this person. I see him heal that person. I see him work in this situation and that situation. I want to see what he's going to do when he's on the cross.
Right.
There were guards there. Centurions. If you know anything about Roman military, these were hard men. These were not men that they're not going to run from no fight. They're not going to worry about getting their hands dirty when they got to when it comes to fighting. And they were instructed to stand there and guard that cross. Now, Jesus had said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven."
Yes. Right.
Now, verse 54. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, at saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God."
Oh, yeah.
Jesus didn't have to toot his own horn.
Right.
Those hardened men around him, watching him die, tooted his horn.
Yes.
Anybody got a question about whether the Savior is the one that we're going to reach heaven with? There's your answer.
Amen.
This is a witness from way back when.
Yeah.
When the time changed from BC to AD, there was witnesses there that said, "Truly, this was the Son of God."
Yeah.
No one has an excuse. No one can argue that Jesus wasn't who he was.
Amen.
I asked the Lord, as he was presenting this message to me, "Lord, what example you want me to use?" And he spoke very clearly. He said, "I want you to go to Acts, the 16th chapter." Now, in our lives, sometimes we don't quite get it just right. Things don't quite always turn out exactly the way they should. But what this example represents is the potential of what can happen when God allows, when we allow God to shine his light through it in the way that he wants.
Amen.
So let's look at this. Apostle Paul, number one, was not one of those disciples that went up to the mountain with Jesus that day. He wasn't nowhere around.
Right.
How did he get it? You ever ask yourself, how did he get it? It came from one of them disciples.
Right.
Yeah. Or it came from Jesus' divine revelation when he fell to his knees on the road to Damascus.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to begin reading. For the sake of time, I'm going to summarize some of the first part of this. The Apostle Paul had been working with some converts. He's working with Brother Timothy and some other ones. And he has a vision in this process. So I want to start reading at the 9th verse. It said, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" All right, so we got a good understanding of what's happening here. The Spirit has revealed to Apostle Paul, there's some people that need help in Macedonia. So we look at this. This is his marching order, so to speak. The Holy Ghost wants him to go to Macedonia and help these people out. And most of the time we read this, and that's what we look at it. This is what he's done. But the Lord said, look deeper. Watch what happens with Paul's life. "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course into Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from hence to Philippi, which is a chief city of that part of Macedonia. and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days.
Yes.
And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where praying was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So the Holy Ghost told him, you go to Macedonia. I don't believe he probably thought in his mind, we're going to run into Lydia. And we're going to baptize Lydia. We're going to go stay at Lydia's house. Do you see how flexible we have to be when we are living for God? Because sometimes what we want to do, God wants to change. He may want to add something to it that you don't expect. So first of all, let's be flexible. See, Paul said, okay, we're going to go over to your house. Now I'm going to continue to reading. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. Now, that struck me. Jesus said, let your light shine, and that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Yes.
This damsel had a spirit.
Yes, right.
And the evil spirit was witnessing to what Paul and them were doing.
Yes, right.
The devil knows who's in God's hands.
Yes.
Right.
Oftentimes, you may get encouragement from somebody you know that ain't a believer. And you don't realize it until you think about it. Somebody says, you're doing such this and you're doing that. They don't even comprehend. The devil knows what God's purpose is for you. And he'll witness to it, just like this child was. Now, he meant it to be a detriment.
Right.
He meant it to have an effect on Paul. What's this girl saying? She don't even know me. Something happened. 18. And this did she many days. So it wasn't just one. She was following them around, telling everybody, these men are going to show you how to gain salvation. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Now, did that have an effect? Was that a good work?
Amen.
Or was he just solving his problem? This little child is grieving me, following us around, telling everybody that we are here to give him salvation. He did good works.
Yeah.
That child was delivered.
Thank you, Lord.
Did it have a good effect? Did those that was making money off her feel good about that? Oh, man, now she can be a normal little child. No, they was upset.
Right.
Do you see how things have gone already different than what the Holy Ghost has already told him? Go to that in the vision. Go to Macedonia's. And I'm supposed to help these people. So here, he's dealt with Lydia. Now he's dealt with the damsel. Now, this caused some problems. And this speaks to how we respond in our situations. And when her masters saw the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas, threw them in the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble in our city. All right? Does Paul have a reason to defend himself?
Absolutely.
I'm not doing anything bad. I'm going and doing good.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case. He didn't defend himself. Not only didn't he defend himself, some other things happened. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. What customs was he teaching? The only thing he was doing was showing people the way to salvation.
Right.
That's not a custom. Neither to observe being Romans. And a multitude rose together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. So the Holy Ghost has come to Paul and told him, go to Macedonia. There's some people that need help. Where is he now? He's in jail with a sore back. What's his response? I was going to help some people. That's all right. I'm not going to help nobody no more. I'm just going to go back home. Can he go back home? He's stuck in prison.
Right.
Sometimes in our life, we find ourselves in situations similar. We intend to do good for the Lord. And something happens and comes along. So we find Apostle Paul in a difficult situation.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost had told him, go to Macedonia to help these brethren out. And here he finds himself sitting in prison, beaten with many stripes.
Yeah.
It said that they charged the jailer to keep them safely.
Mm-hmm.
That is a hidden message to the jailers, is he bet not get out of there.
Right.
So what did the jailer do? The jailer, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks. Not only did he lock them in an inside room, he put stocks on his feet to keep him from going anywhere.
Right.
And all he was doing good.
Right.
Sometimes we do good and the devil's not happy about it.
Right.
And so he sends many situations our way that are, dare I say, disadvantageous to us.
Right.
And sometimes, as human beings, we began to wonder, why is this happening?
Right.
All I'm trying to do is God's will.
Right.
Yeah.
Why is this happening? Why is that happening? I'm just trying to do God's will. And the enemy will come along and say, you see what happens when you do God's will?
Right.
And if we're not careful, we will let those things affect our determination to do God's will.
Lord,
our determination to let our light shine in such a way that when people see our works, they will glorify our God on our behalf.
Amen.
Yes. And midnight came. You know, when it gets dark outside, it has an effect on us emotionally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes people's depression really set in at night.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Maybe the anxiety of the situation I'm dealing with in life sets in at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's not going to be no way out of it. He didn't know how many days he was going to be there. But you know, God was in control of everything.
Amen.
If God did not want him to get beaten, he wouldn't allow it. God could have dealt with those that was taking advantage of that child that was possessed.
Yes.
But God had a greater purpose.
Amen.
And many times we don't understand that the things that we are involved with or dealing with, there is a greater purpose that God wants to accomplish in that situation.
Amen.
We kind of think along the normal things of happening in life. Well, I know God wants me to be prosperous. Sometimes we don't realize how much God wants us to prosper. He wants that prosperity to spill over out of our life and touch other people's lives.
Yeah.
So at midnight, does it say Paul and Silas was moping over in the corner?
No.
Shaking their head. This is the key.
Yeah.
When we don't understand the things that we are going through, that God is doing, there is a responsibility we have to lift praises up to him, even in those situations.
Yes.
And it said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and they didn't do it quietly. It said that the prisoners heard them.
Yes.
I want God to know that there is no reservation in my heart to do his will. And if it means I got to be beaten, if it means I got to be thrown in prison, I want God to get the glory.
Yes. Yes.
And so they sang praises and then they sang them loud.
Right.
Imagine a few of you, be quiet. We're trying to sleep.
Right.
Something happened.
Yes. Good.
Paul didn't say, I'm going to find a way out of here.
We're gonna
catch the guard when he brings whatever.
Yeah.
We'll get the key from him. Then we'll unlock our shackles and then we'll unlock the door and we'll escape over the wall. That is not what he said. The only thing he had in his mind was to glorify God, because I can suffer a little while.
Yeah.
And I haven't been discouraged from it.
Yes.
Something happened. It said there, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you imagine that, probably that 5 second time span when that occurred. It kind of causes you just to freeze. Everybody's frozen. What just happened? God just happened. Because they had come through and followed his plan the way God intended. And God said, I am going to step up now and I'm going to act on his behalf. I'm going to show everybody in this prison who's boss.
Amen. Yes.
And that's exactly what God did. The bands were loose. The doors, every door was open. What do you think the jailer felt? Panic. I've been charged to keep this man in here. Now all the doors are open. Keep in mind, it's midnight. There's no light. I don't know where he is. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. This is how serious it was. Those magistrates had some power in that city. And if Paul would have got out of there, they would have got him. And so he said, I'm going to take the easy way out. I'm going to kill myself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now, this, I had to chuckle every time I read this, I chuckle. Because I can picture Paul sitting there in that room, he rubbing his ankles where the shackles was, rubbing his wrists. And just sitting there like, what's going to happen now? There was a calm about Paul.
Right.
He had something on hand that he could comfortably sit there and set up. What would normally happen in a prison if all the doors were open? There will be a mass exit.
Yes.
Paul is just sitting there confident in what God has done. Only thing he did was lift up praises to God for
Amen.
What had happened. Then he called for light.
Yes.
Sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas.
Yes.
There was some divine revelation happening here.
Amen.
This jailer had finally realized that the men that he had put in that inner room was not doing anybody any harm.
Right.
That he would come. Most jailers, they're going to come and visit somebody. They got some guards with them, don't they?
Yeah.
Does the scripture say there was any guards? It said he came in. And he said, and then he called for light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Amen.
This was the whole purpose that God had in mind.
Amen.
It wasn't just for him to help those people in Macedonia. It wasn't just for them to baptize Lydia. It wasn't just for him to cast that devil out of that child.
Right.
It was to save a man's soul.
Yes. Amen.
Our light is not always a literal light. Our light, if you could see the spirit world that we don't see,
right.
Our lights are shining bright.
Yes.
Amen.
And we go around people, many times we don't even say anything. They can sense that there is something different about you and I, and we got something on hand that they don't have.
Yes.
And if they got an honest heart and a desire, God will reveal himself to them. Just like he did to the jailer, that man knew. How did he know what it meant to be saved?
Yes.
Sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Yes.
He recognized this was his opportunity. The Holy Ghost didn't reveal to him, "Paul, I'm going to have you go in prison because there's a man that needs to be saved."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do that. Paul was trusting God for every situation that was happening.
Amen. Yeah.
And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." It wasn't just one man. It was a whole household.
Right.
So somewhere along the way, God had already been working and dealing with those individuals. It was their time to receive salvation.
Amen.
And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in the house.
Yes.
And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house.
Yes.
What a emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Holy Ghost said, "Go here, we're going." Well, we got so-and-so baptized. Well, we delivered this young child. Then we got beat. Then we got thrown in the middle of the prison
with
shackles on. And now the earthquake has happened, and I got the jailer himself soothing my sore back. Do you see how God works sometimes?
Amen.
He don't work the way we think.
Right.
He has an infinite of options when he's dealing with us being a light.
Yes. Aaron,
yes.
He prevented a suicide too.
That's right.
Yeah.
He prevented a man from going to hell.
Yeah.
Right.
God, sometimes we look at the things that we are asking God to work.
Yeah.
out in our lives. And we have a specific things that we ask for, which is good. But I want to tell you or challenge you this morning, do this. Lord, will you do your best in this situation? Because my mind can't comprehend what God has in mind. He may do something that far exceeds what I could ever think could happen. And leave you shaking your head. Just praising God. I imagine that jailer when he went around with his circle of people. There was a man that came to the prison and my life changed. He had got beaten. He had got mistreated, falsely accused, taken advantage of, and he showed me the way to salvation. There was no animosity. There was no ill will. There was no regrets from the Apostle Paul. And I imagine that story resonated with those people around. This effect was not, it was a jailer in his house, but I am confident that it had effect on far more people than that. When God is working in our lives, there are many times that we go through things and we're scratching our head, and sometimes we say, I don't know why this happened to me. I don't know how to deal with this. God is working something. And his interest is beyond just our well-being. His interest is beyond just those that we know. His interest is for every single soul in the earth that has an honest heart. And his sole desire is to bring them into the kingdom. We are the lights. That's why Jesus said, let your light shine. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father. I ain't talking about a God that I don't know. I'm talking about a God that I have an intimate relationship with. That I can say, this is my God. There's casual Christians don't have a real relationship with God, and they are missing out on so much in life. You can go to God and say, Lord, I lost my keys. Lord, I got this situation going on with this teacher at school. With one of my children. Will you take care of it? Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet, but I know you do.
Amen.
This is our privilege.
Amen.
And God don't want us to sit over in a corner, put our little light right here. It's supposed to be out where people can see it. That means we don't cocoon at home. Get out in public. Get around people. That's the only way they're going to see your light. They may not see your light if you're sitting in the house at home. Now, I know you got to be careful where you go. You know, there's people in this world that would have us all cooped up at home. Not going nowhere. But God wants our light to be out there. I mentioned this in another message. I was talking about my mother. She said, I'm going to substitute. I'm not interested in substituting. I said, I don't want to deal with a bunch of knuckleheads. But she said, God gave me the ability to go do it and a desire. And you know that lives are being touched. Children are being touched because they see the light of God. And I promise you, they don't see it in their parent. Otherwise, they wouldn't be drawn to the light. They would say, oh, you just like my mom or dad. People want the light. And God wants to use us. But sometimes we want a box. We put God, okay, God, this is what I want you to do. These are the parameters that I need you to work. God is not interested in our parameters. God is interested in taking these feeble vessels and glorifying himself in a far greater way than we think about. Sometimes God is going to bring you in touch with people, and you never know what his purpose is in their life. And you open your arms of love Show them the love of God.
Yes.
And allow him to work with them. You be, as it was mentioned in Sunday school, you be patient with them. Be merciful.
Yes.
You don't know what God's purpose is.
Yes. Amen.
I remember there's a young brother that we know. One of his instructors is a preacher. He was in his math class. And he would come to class. This is Brother Donnie in Org. I don't know if any of you heard this story. He told me what happened. This young man was in his math class. And he said he was very quiet. And he wouldn't say much, but he watched him. And at somewhere around the end of the semester, he began to ask Brother Donnie about God.
Amen.
He said, "You're different." Mm-hmm. That young man got saved.
Mm-hmm.
That young man, God has taken over to other countries,
mm-hmm,
to work in the kingdom of God,
yes,
spreading the gospel all over. If you ever get a chance to sit down and hear some of the things that happened to him, he told me one time he was in a place where he was spreading the gospel and some people caught him in an alley. And he said they proceeded to beat him up. And he said all he did was bend down like this. And he said, "I never felt a punch." And he said they all ran away because nothing was happening to him. And he said he just skipped on out the alley. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is what happens when our light shines.
Yeah.
You don't know who God wants to use. You don't know what God has in mind. Let him use you. Let him take your light and make it brighter than it's ever been.
Yes.
Pray for me.
Amen.